Hi, I'm Quentin D'Souza, and you're listening to Getting Started with Education REI. Create wealth, freedom, and security through real estate investing. Make sure to check out educationrei.ca. In this episode, we cover leveraging the equity in your property to buy more investment properties. Have a listen.
Hello. Hey, Amit. How's it going?
Hi, Gunda. How are you? I'm good.
All right. Well, it's good to see you again. I saw you yesterday at the beginner call. And I think I have a little bit of a sense of who you are and what you've been doing. If you can describe a little bit about your journey to date, that would be great. Like in real estate investing, you said that you have two properties and you're looking to purchase your third. So what was your first property like? And I know your second property is your principal residence, right?
Correct. So first property I got, I stayed in there for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And then removed the equity and went to the second property, which is a principal residence now.
Okay. So your first property is a rental property now?
Rental now, yeah.
So where is the property located?
That's in Milton.
In Milton. And what kind of property is it?
So that one is a townhouse.
It's a townhouse. Okay. So it's a townhouse now that you've rented. And is it cash flow positive or negative?
Right now it's negative because I just started. So I'm very early stages of investing, actually. I just started doing it. I think just started it this year, January. So,
okay. Yeah. You know, it's good to start wherever you are, it's where you are. And it's more important that you started than anything else.
Yeah.
So you have a property that you've basically taken all the equity out to use to purchase your principal residence, but you're renting out the old property. What are you renting it at right now?
So is that around $2,500.
And why is it negative? Is it because the mortgage amount is high or what else? Like, what are your numbers on it?
So Quentin, my numbers are like pretty much like HVAC and property tax are a bit of like a couple of $100 low. So around $200 to $300 per month negative. So
it's not bad, but are you charging plus utilities or inclusive?
So obviously, what do we call the the HVAC? So HVAC and my water heater, they were on rental actually.
Okay.
So I'm carrying that rental to me. And then also property tax, I'm paying.
Yep. And insurance, right?
And home insurance, correct.
Okay. And the other utilities, they are paying, right?
That's right.
Okay, that's fine. Those are all fine. And what's the current interest rate that you're paying on that property?
For that one, I'm paying around 1.85 variable.
Wow, that's amazing. A 30-year amortization or no?
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got a good interest rate. You've got a good amortization on it.
Right.
And you're still negative cash flow because of the size of the mortgage, right?
Right. And again, I'm a first time renting experience.
Okay.
So I just wanted to join a community like you, which is a growth community, and think forward when I'm stabilized in my first rental experience, right?
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
No, that's good. And you know what? You've accessed the equity and you've used that to purchase your principal residence, which is fine. You turn the old one into a rental, right? And so one of the things that I think that's a great strategy. It makes more sense to access the equity and by selling the asset because it's a principal residence, you're not taxed on it, right? Now, from the point of when you purchased, when you turned it into a rental, it becomes taxed. So you want to make sure that you talk to your accountant and make sure that you cap when it turned from a principal residence to a rental property. Otherwise, you're going to lose that tax advantage, right?
So I should talk with my accountant, you're saying?
Yeah. Because a principal resident in Canada is right now, it's currently like you don't get taxed on the equity when you sell. But now that you've converted it into a rental, you've changed it. So now that equity that you make in that is a capital gains and it's taxed. Okay. So you need to make sure that you clarify that with your accountant so that you can take advantage of when it was a principal residence so that you don't lose all of that. Right.
Makes sense. Yeah.
So sometimes it makes more sense to sell a property as a principal residence, take the funds, put it into the new principal residence and use the balance of the funds to invest, right? Because you're not, this is in Canada, that's really the only tax advantage we have is our principal residence. That's it. So that's why it may make sense to do that. You've already done what you've done, which is fine. But I just want you to be aware of that and make sure you talk to your accountant because you've changed the tax. I'm not an accountant. I know that this happens and I've seen it again and again, right? So be careful of that.
This is not a good strategy, you mean?
It's not that it's not a good strategy. You've already done it. So it doesn't whether it's good or bad, you've done it, okay? So the key is that just make sure that you're thinking about the tax position of it. You can always go back and sell it later on. Just make sure that you don't get, you only get taxed on what the value increase, not while it was a principal residence, okay? Because otherwise you're going to get a big tax bill that you shouldn't get.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. The next piece is that you need access to funds in order to purchase your next property, right? And we talked a little bit about this before. Tell me a little bit about your current position. How much do you have available in your HELOC? Do you have any other access to lines of credit? And I'm going to say some things that may make you feel a bit uncomfortable. Don't worry about it. Don't get offended. It's just the way I am. I'm pretty direct, okay?
Yeah.
I have to say that because sometimes I'm a little bit too direct and people get offended. So don't worry.
No. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So tell me a little bit about what access you have right now and your, the line of credit.
So I guess I have a couple of funds and so line of credit, as I said, I only with one bank, right? It's just one bank, which is my mortgage bank, right? And that is like around 30 grand line of credit, unsecured, right? But I can increase that to, I think, 50 or something. I don't know. Like, I'm going to call them and say that increase my line of credit.
Yeah.
And then obviously ask to other institutions, as you were suggesting last night, increase my line of credit. Will not use it, though, yet, because I'm still stabilizing with my second property, like as a primary residence. HELOC-wise, I got that HELOC from my current primary residence, around 60 grand.
Okay. So you have 60 grand available from your current line of a secured line of credit,
right?
And then 30 unsecured, right? And then the rental property, do you have a secured or unsecured line of credit?
So in that case, I just have, I have like around 10 to 15 grand. On the lower side,
as a secured line of credit. So the way that you structured that mortgage, it's a HELOC component to it, like a home equity line of credit on the rental property, right?
Yeah, on the rental property. So I told my mortgage broker to remove everything, but just give me 10-15,000 for home repairs or if anything comes up, for
secured. Wait a minute, you have access to more and you didn't take it?
No, I took all of it.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you took all the equity, but you've created a line of credit on the other side so that as you pay down the principal, you're able to access the equity on the rental property, right?
That's right.
Principal residence.
It's on my principal residence, right? The equity, 60 grand, is on my principal residence.
Okay. And then on your rental property, you have 15 grand, you said.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And these are both structured mortgages where you have, as you pay down the principal in both, they become available on the line of credit side, right?
When you pay principal, they be, yeah, that's right.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. So that's a great strategy, especially as you're growing in. There's a lot of different banks that have, you know, that strategy where you pay down the principal, it becomes available on the line of credit. And then you're also, like we were talking about last night on the call, you can use the Smith maneuver to kind of convert it to from non-deductible debt to deductible debt, right? And that video is posted as well. So you can go and take a look at that after. But I think right now you're really focused on purchasing your next property, right? And one of the things that I want to reiterate to you is like being able to access lines of credit because you have good credit. And I think as we've kind of changed as a society from a money-based society to a credit-based society. And having good credit is really important, right? And if you can access credit in different ways, you can structure things a little differently, especially if you have, you know, good income that can support it. So you can take, you know, unsecured, you know, pay down secured. And if that is okay with the bank to use a secured line of credit, you increase your room, and then you're able to access, you know, perhaps a third property doing it yourself. Yeah.
So my question before meeting you was, Quinton, was my thinking was, you can borrow money and then put a down payment in a construction project.
No, you can borrow money and put money down for your down payment as well.
Yeah. So, but the thing is, as an investor, I should think as a cash flow should be the priority, right?
Because you want to make sure that you're the property that you purchase, is able to cash flow with all your expenses included in it, right? Yes. And that may be your line of credit. It may only be like $50 or $100 cash flow after expenses, but you know that's something that you really want to keep in mind. And the challenge is that there's a lot of people that will tell you an investment is just, you know, it's about location. And location is important, but it's also more important that you're able to hold the asset and you're not feeding it every month because it's cash flow negative. So that rental property out in Milton is going to be great from an appreciation perspective. I know that it will be, but you're going to feed it every month. And yeah, sometimes you're going to have a big repair and that's going to come out of your pocket. And that's what we don't want to happen over time, right? And when you look at my portfolio, and I've been doing this for a long time, I don't have a property that is cash flow negative for a very long time, if that, because that's the way that I've structured it. I've taken the time to build the portfolio that allows me to, each property is a little business. And if a business doesn't make money, what do we call that?
It's not a business actually then, right?
That's right. It's not a business. You know, it's a liability, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's the word. Yeah.
So, so every one of my businesses make money, and that's what's important to me. And I want to be careful that I don't over leverage that business. I mean, at the beginning, you can use leverage. Leverage is a power tool. It helps you to invest in property like you're doing right now, taking it from the rental property and allowing you to buy the principal residence. And now you're going to flip that into a third property. The key for you is make sure that that third property has good cash flow, because it's going to help you not only to pay for that third property, but probably your first property that you turned into a rental. And I'm going to have you look at that property with a different lens. I want you to look at it and see if you can hold on to that first property for 4 or 5 years. Is that going to make sense to you? Or does it make more sense to you to sell that property and turn it into, like, if you sold that property, how much equity would you have access to?
Well, right now, Quinton, I would have nothing, right? Because I accessed everything, right?
You accessed everything in order to pay for your principal residence?
Correct.
Okay, so you, no, but that's not what I'm saying. You would still have 20% down, right? Like when you refinance that first property, did you refinance it to 95% loan to value?
I just told my mortgage agent to give me all the equity out, right? Okay. So again,
but that doesn't mean that they went to 100% loan to value. It means that they probably went to 80% loan to value. What's 80%, the value?
That's right. 80%. 80%. Yeah, yeah. That's what you mean. Okay. Now I get it. Yeah, okay. That I know.
All right. So if you did 80% loan to value, what's the value of the townhouse today? Is it a million? Is it?
Okay. That would have increased like 100 grand more. 100 grand more.
So what's the value of the townhouse today?
That'll be around, I guess, 850.
850. Okay. So 850,000. I'm thinking that you're probably going to have access to like about 200,000, something like that, right? If you sold that asset. And that what that could have helped you to do is one, pay for one of your properties here, right? Which is your principal residence. And then two, it would have helped you purchase a second or even a third property if possible. Okay. Now that you're not doing it that way, it's okay. But I recognized that from your call yesterday that you said a mortgage broker said you can only do a B lender. And I have a problem with people telling me what I can and can't do. And you should come up with that same mentality. I don't take no for an answer. I never give up. And I push hard. And the difference here is if that mortgage broker tell you one answer, I suggest you go and find a second opinion or a third opinion or a fourth opinion. You know, when I have like you can imagine the size of my portfolio, about 34 million in assets under management. And that was the last time I looked at my portfolio. It's gone up about 25% over the last year. But if you take a look at that, sometimes I have trouble getting mortgages because I have multiple properties, but I don't give up. You know, sometimes I've worked and done, you know, portfolio refinance that I like, it took me 6 months to do, right? And I had to go through three or four lenders. And when I have to go to another lender, it takes me a lot because I have to give all my mortgage documents, property taxes, all my documentation, all the leases for all the properties. You know, it's a lot. So you have to have that same mentality. So you got that opinion from one mortgage broker, talk to another one.
Would you suggest feel free to go to different mortgage agents like.
They're not going to want me to say this, but I would suggest you get a second opinion. Yes. Yeah. And I would suggest you go to like the banks and talk to a mobile mortgage specialist, and mortgage agents don't like to hear that either. but the reason why, and I'll tell you my reason why, and other people will be for and against it, is because if you have a really good mobile mortgage agent or someone who works from the bank, they will deal directly with risk management. And if you're an investor, risk management is all they're thinking about. So, but what happens if you have a mortgage broker is a mortgage broker deals with somebody at the bank who deals with risk management. So you have that third party or the party in between. And that's why sometimes it's better if you can find somebody. And I'm happy to refer you to a couple people that we have in our network. And I'll do that. So that's fine. So you can talk to another mortgage broker, because they mortgage brokers are great. Like mortgage agents and brokers are great, but they all have different relationships, and you have to remember that not all of them are the same. And they may say that you have to go to a B lender because that's all they can do for you. Okay,
right. I get that. No, right. I understand that.
All right. Okay, so you've got a couple of things that you got to work on, right? So one. What do we talk about? The lines of credit piece, right?
The lines of credit, yeah.
Two, what else are you going to work on? You're going to look at your principal residence, and you're going to think about 5 years from now what that looks like. And does it make sense to make a change on that front to free up equity to put it into different projects that doesn't cost you to carry, okay?
Right. And then it has to be cash flow, right? The third one has to be cash flow, right?
Yeah, and the third one is to look for a property that cash flows positive, that carries the cost and then pays you every month. A business is something that pays you every month, okay? Yeah. It doesn't have to be a lot. It could be $100, it could be $200. It just has to pay you and cover its costs, okay? Because what you'll find happens over time, and this could be okay with the Milton project too, is that rents increase. So in 5 years, that negative $200 could be neutral, right? It's very possible. But the challenge is in Ontario, you can't kick out tenants. It doesn't work like that. And so even if it did go up $200, there's no guarantee that those tenants are going to leave. And it's a challenge with the system that we have here. It's government policy that doesn't really make sense from a business perspective. And it's why, you know, they have not as many rental units as they think that there are out there. It's partly because of that. But in any case, I hope that's helped you, you know, those
things you're
working on. All right. And make sure that you come to those calls. All right.
Yeah.
And ask questions. Don't be shy. I'm not going to, you know, I'll tell you what it is and what it isn't. And I don't really have an affiliation with anybody, or I'm not a realtor, I'm not a mortgage broker. I'm an educator, and that's what I do. So make sure that you come to those calls, because then you can ask questions and it'll help you along your journey. All right.
Definitely, Quentin. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And thanks for the tips. Yeah.
No problem. All right. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to my conversation with our member. I hope you got some valuable information out of it. If you would like to create wealth, freedom, and security through real estate investing, make sure to check out educationrei.ca. Until next time, I'm Quentin D'Souza. Get out there and take action.